and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. You know, a fellow once said that wise men can profit more from fools than fools can from wise men. You see, the reason is that wise men avoid the faults of fools, but fools don't bother to imitate the good examples of wise men.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again tonight transcribed another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr. During the long summer days, the town of Elyria seems to half sleep in the locust-filled heat. Oh, perhaps the soda fountain at the drugstore is a little busier than usual, and of course Jetter's Pond is filled with laughing, splashing youngsters, but for the most of the town, it's summer and a lazy time. But later, when shadows begin to stretch out across the wide streets, Elyria stirs in the soft coolness of twilight. Pitchers of lemonade appear on wide verandas, and groups of shirt-sleeved gossipers gather at street corners. Elyria is coming to life. Tonight, there's a special reason. It's a dance at the country club, and most of the town will be there. As editor of the Gazette, Will Rogers is taking Maggie Button, his assistant. But right at this minute, Will's dressing, and he has a particularly annoying problem.
Where in the heck did I put that thing?
Jill? Jill?
I heard it, Daddy.
That must be Maggie. Will you let her in?
All right, Daddy.
Thanks, honey. Well, let's see. It's got to be here somewhere.
Hello, Miss Button.
Hello, Jill, honey.
Come on in. Daddy will be ready in a minute, I think. He's been having awful trouble.
Oh. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Does she smell good, Miss Button?
Well, thank you, Jill. That's a very nice compliment.
Sit down, Maggie.
Don't keep your date waiting, Will. We don't want to be late.
Doing my best, Maggie. It's been kind of nip and tuck all the way.
See what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
I tell you, Maggie, it's again natural law to ask any man to climb into one of these things. All I need is a trap door, and then I can be strangled for sure tonight.
You better do something, Miss Button. It's his tie.
Will, there's nothing so hard about a bow tie.
Nothing except the tying part.
Oh, here, let me try. Hold your head back.
Miss Button?
Yes, honey?
I thought he was supposed to come by and pick you up.
Well, honey, I might have sat home all evening waiting for him, so I didn't take any chances and I came by here instead. There. Put on your coat.
Hey, well, that's all tied. Sure. Thanks, Maggie. Thanks a lot.
Come on now.
Oh, in the rush of getting my tie tied, I didn't have a chance to stand off and look at you.
Well, there's always time for that. You like it?
You'll be the prettiest girl there, Maggie. Am I right, honey?
Oh, Daddy, sometimes I...
What, baby?
Why, she's the prettiest girl anywhere. Didn't you know that?
Will, leave your collar alone.
My poor old neck's had about all it can take.
It isn't often we have a formal get-together in Elyria. You men can wear dinner jackets one night a year.
One night's about all our help will stand. If the collars don't get us, the smell of mothballs will.
Oh, Will, you're incorrigible.
I'm still wondering why Polly Pellerton rented the whole country club anyhow.
Maybe all this has something to do with jocks getting back from New York and school and all, huh?
Kind of think it has, Maggie.
I'll bet she just had this party to show him off a little bit.
It's one of the perils of being born of parents. Now, if children were just sort of hatched out in the sun by themselves, they'd never have to put up with being showed off like this. Poor old Judge Walters over there looks about as bad as I feel.
Now, Will, don't start complaining again. I've been trying to keep your mind off of it.
Trying to get a man's mind off of this boiled shirt is like trying to tell a camel he hasn't got a hump. Oh, hello, Jock.
Jack!
Hello, Will, Maggie. Gosh, it's good to see you two again. How are things at the paper?
They're fine, Jock.
Oh, good.
Oh, Jock, there you are.
You both know Melissa Walters.
Well, hello, Melissa. When'd you get back from the cold? Day before yesterday. How are you, Will?
Fine, Melissa. How was Stanford?
Oh, wonderful. I sort of hated to leave it, but oh, it's all behind me now.
Maggie, we got to get a notice in the paper. Melissa's back.
My, that's a pretty dress. Sit down, Melissa. Oh, I'd love to, but I'm on the punch bowl. Can I get you two, sir?
Oh, yes. We'd love it.
All right. Excuse me, please.
She sure is a pretty girl, Jock.
Uh-huh.
I said Melissa's grown up to be a mighty pretty girl.
Oh, yes, she has, hasn't she?
There's your mother now, getting up on the bandstand, Jock.
Yeah, I wonder what's up.
You should be awfully proud of her, Jock. She's just lovely.
I am, of course. I'm going to interrupt you for just a few moments. I have an announcement to make. I know everyone's rather curious as to why we're having this party tonight.
Yeah.
Now, it's really nothing new under the sun at all. As a matter of fact, it's just a very simple and natural occurrence that happens every day. But it means a great deal to me and to Melissa's father, Judge Walters.
Yeah.
I asked you all to come here tonight so I could tell you that my son, Jock, is going to marry Melissa Walters.
Oh, no.
Well, now, Jock, that is news.
Jock, what is all this anyhow?
Let me be the first to congratulate you both.
Jock, what'll we do?
Let's get out of here. Come on.
Will?
What? You know, they seem more surprised than anybody.
Yeah, they sure did.
Oh, hello, Polly.
Didn't I see the children standing here with you a moment ago? Everyone wants to congratulate them and wish them luck. Now, where are they?
They sort of laughed, Mrs. Keller.
Oh, of course. They've been away from each other so long, they just cambered off to be alone together. Listen, everyone. We'll just have to save our wishes until they come back. Now, have fun.
Will?
Huh?
Why didn't you tell her they scampered off in opposite directions?
Why didn't you?
We're both cowards, huh?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Maggie, but I'd just hate to do anything that'd spoil Polly's nice evening.
Doc? Doc, you awake? What's that?
Doc, it's your move.
Oh. Well, now, let me see. Where can I move to?
Well, most any place, Doc.
I know that, but where?
I'm trying to win the game, too.
No, so am I. Here's something you didn't notice. There. What do you think of that?
Pretty good, Doc. You weren't as sleepy as I thought you were.
Well, it's a new tactic I figured out last night. By lulling myself into a semi-nap, I lulled you into a false sense of security.
Well, almost, Doc, but not quite.
Huh?
Never underestimate a leopard, a lion, or a checker player, Doc.
And of those three animals, the last named is the most vicious when aroused. Well, I'm scuttled. You win again.
I knew you weren't asleep, Doc.
You did? Huh.
Any man who's really asleep wouldn't take a swat at a little old fly walking across the bridge of his nose.
Well, it wasn't a fly, anyhow. It was you with that feather duster, wasn't it?
Well, you got to stick a fork in the potatoes to see if they're done or not. How about a bottle of cherry pop?
No, thanks, Will. You got the paper to bed yet?
All but the society page. Maggie's making a big thing out of this edition on account of Polly Pelleton's party last night. She picked up these today.
Pictures of Melissa and Jock, huh?
Yeah. And that banner there, that's the one on the top of the page.
Illyrians to wed. So Jock's going to marry Melissa Walters.
That's right.
Well, Judge Walters and Polly Pelleton been hoping for this for a long time. Jock and Melissa went together when they were in high school here. Then both of them went away to college, Jock to New York and Melissa to California. Now, after 4 years away from each other, they come back to get each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing, Will. I know Polly Pelleton pretty well. I've been calling on her twice a week for 10 years now about that heart of hers, you know.
Yeah?
Why, she even asked me if she was up to having this party. But do you think she let out one peep about Jock and Melissa? Not a word.
What's so funny about that, Doc?
Well, I never knew a woman yet who could keep a secret. Yeah. Oh, look at that. I got to be getting it. It's 3:30.
Why don't you drop around later tonight and try and get even?
Well, now I might. How much do I owe you now?
Well, let's see here now. Counting the day's game, that makes $3,285,000. That's hardly enough to worry about.
I'm awfully sorry.
No, it's my fault. I wasn't looking where I was going again. Happens all the time.
Are you Mr. Rogers?
No, that's him over there.
Oh, thank you.
Goodbye, miss. So long, Will.
So long, Doc.
Mr. Rogers, I'd like to put an ad in your personal column.
Well, sure. Now, what would you like to say?
Just say, I'll be waiting for your call, and sign it Jenny.
Waiting for your call, Jenny. Is that all?
Yes.
Jenny what?
Just Jenny.
All right. You better give me a phone number, though, so that whoever it is will know where to call you.
Oh, yes. I'm staying at Plummer's Hotel. I just got in from New York.
Plummer's Hotel. Then I'll just put their number in the ad.
Oh, that'll be fine, Mr. Rogers. How much do I owe you?
Well, I'm pretty well acquainted around Elyria, miss. Maybe I can save you some money if you want to tell me who it is you're trying to get in touch with.
Thank you, just the same. How much?
Well, let's see now. That'll be $1.
There you are.
Thank you for the business.
I'm done. Will, can I use your phone?
Sure, Doc. What's the matter?
Man built again, busted all the heck. Looks like a used fire.
Well, I'll just... Oh.
Is there anything wrong, miss?
I just noticed these pictures. She's a very pretty girl, isn't she?
Melissa? Yes, she sure is. Well,
thank you very much. Mr. Rogers, I think I'm going to faint.
Doc!
Yeah, I heard her voice.
What do we do?
Well, the best thing we can do is put her over here on the couch and then see what made her faint.
Easy now. Yeah.
Get her purse there on the floor, Will. It's spilled all over. I'll handle this.
Sure, Doc.
Does she live here in town, Will? Who is she?
Oh, well, she doesn't live around here, Doc, but... Huh. I think I know who she is.
Who?
According to this driver's license, her name's Pellerton.
What?
Jenny Ambers Pellerton. Doc, I think this girl is Chuck Pellerton's wife.
You are listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to tonight's story in just a moment, but first... Did you ever stop to think what would happen if your life or the life of someone you love depended on just one pint of blood and the supply was all gone? You can make certain that never happens. Call your local Red Cross chapter tomorrow and make an appointment to give a pint of your blood. It's painless, and it's one of the most valuable and satisfying donations you can make. And now we continue with the second act of tonight's show.
Maggie's here now, Doc. Anything we can do?
Oh, no, I don't think so, Will.
How is she, Doc?
She's coming around now, all right, Maggie. Now, it's all right, miss. You're all right. Just take it.
Yes. Did I faint?
Afraid you did. This is the doctor.
Oh.
And this is my assistant, Miss Button.
Hello there. It was pretty silly of me, I guess.
Well, now there remains to be seen. How'd you like to ride over to the hospital with me so I can check you over?
Oh, I'm all right now. Honestly, I feel fine. Besides, I have to catch a train tonight. I'm going back to New York.
You haven't even given Elyria a chance, and you're already planning to go back? Don't you think you ought to stay around and look things over? They aren't always what they seem.
I'm going back as soon as I can. I'm sorry I ever came here.
Miss, I know you've had one long train ride today, and without even checking you over, I'd say thumbs down on you packing your bags and taking another long trip.
without at least one night's sleep.
Perhaps you'd better go to the doc here and let him look you over, huh?
He doesn't have to look me over, do you?
Well, now, I'm not certain.
He knows I'm going to have a baby.
Jenny, I know Jock Pellerton's your husband. Let me call him and tell him you're here.
I don't want to see him. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. Leave me alone. All of you, just leave me alone. How'd it go?
Doc always surprises me when he goes into action. He can be pretty firm.
Well, how'd she take it? What happened?
Doc and I got her in the car, and the next thing you know, we were parked in front of the hospital.
Uh-huh. Did she say anything more?
No. Doc did all the talking. He talked about people trying to think when nothing's on their minds that'd let them think, and how big mistakes are made that way. And before she could argue with him, he had her upstairs and in the room.
Did she go to sleep?
After Doc gave her a sedative.
I don't know what she's going to wake up to tomorrow morning, but I certainly know what I'm going to say to Jock Pellerton when I see him again.
Now, Maggie, Jock's always been a pretty decent sort. No sense jumping at conclusions yet.
Conclusions? With one wife in New York who's about to have a baby and him announcing he's going to marry another girl here?
Oh, remember, he didn't announce it. His mother did.
Well, he could have straightened it out right at the party and told him he was married already.
Maybe he had a good reason for not saying anything.
Oh, what about Melissa? What do you expect her or Jenny or anybody else to think of him?
Now, Maggie, even Abe Lincoln wasn't well thought of by half the country.
Well, I suppose so.
Hi, Daddy. Hello, Miss Button.
Jill, honey. Well, come on in. But it's after 9 o'clock. What are you doing down here?
You should be home in bed.
Too much to think about. Besides, Mr. and Mrs. Benbow took everybody to the band concert tonight. I went with them. When we came by here, they dropped me off on account the light was still on. Aren't you glad to see me?
Oh, honey, I'm always glad to see you. Come on, climb up here on the desk.
All right.
What have you been thinking about, Jill?
My future.
Really?
I want to be a champion someday.
Champion, huh? Well, now there are all kinds of champions. What kind of a champion do you want to be?
Oh, any kind's all right. Just so I win.
Just so you win, huh? I see.
Well, I've got to run along now. Good night, honey.
Good night, Miss Button.
Good night, Maggie. See you tomorrow.
Night.
Daddy, tell me a story about a champion.
All right, Jill. You remember old Daniel Webster?
Yes.
Well, now, he was a champion arguer.
He was?
Yeah, he was one of the best arguers we probably ever had in this country. Well, one day he got to arguing with his friends. And old Dan, he just stood up and finally said, I think you fellas are all wrong about this.
And then what happened, Daddy?
Well, they thought old Dan was wrong, too.
Did they have a fight about it?
Nope. They compromised.
Huh?
Compromised, honey. It kind of means that instead of starting a fight, why, they all went home and had a good night's sleep. Then the next morning, when they'd kind of all cooled off, why, they sat down together and listened to what the other fellas had to say. And do you know what?
What?
Once they'd talked it over good and proper, why, they found out that all of them were partly right and partly wrong.
Even Dan Webster was partly wrong?
Even Dan Webster.
Is that bad, Daddy?
No, honey. That's just human.
Golly, if he was a champion, I thought he knew everything.
So did everyone else, except old Dan. That's why he was so smart.
But then nobody won.
Well, that's the point, honey. It isn't that. It's that nobody lost. And all of them found out something about the other fellows that they hadn't known before.
And they were all champions?
That's right, honey. They were all champions.
Will Rogers.
Well, Polly, good morning.
Will, what do you mean by this? I got up at 7 o'clock this morning just so I could buy up a dozen copies of your silly old newspaper and cut out the story about Jock and Melissa to send away to my friends.
Now, Polly.
But there's no story here at all, not one single word.
Polly, if you'll just sit down quiet for a minute, why, maybe we can talk this thing
over. Well, all the time I've lived here and all the business I've done with you, I've never asked you for one thing.
Now,
not one thing in all that time until I had the party the other night. Then I ask you to write a real nice story about Jock and Melissa.
Please,
it's what
Polly,
the judge and I had hoped and prayed for ever since they were children. It's not asking a lot for you to give the story a little space and us a lot of happiness. It's just one of the nice little things a mother likes to see. whether anyone else does or not. Was it asking too much, Will?
No, Polly, of course not. I wanted to print the story about Jock and Melissa.
Then why didn't you?
Polly, you'll have to ask Jock about that.
I'm asking you, Will.
It's just not for me to say, Polly.
Will, I never want to see you or your newspaper again.
Wait, Polly. Polly, wait a minute. Shoot. Elyria Weekly Gazette.
Will, this is Jock Pellerton. I want to thank you for not printing that story in the paper.
I'm glad you were happy about it, Jock. Your mother sees it the other way.
Yeah, has she talked to you?
Just left, with tears in her eyes.
Well, there's something I'd like to talk to you about.
I'll be waiting for you, Jock.
Hello, Will.
Jock, Melissa.
Hello, Will.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Will, Jock and I can't possibly get married.
Go on.
He's already married to a girl in New York, has been for 6 months. And I'm engaged to a boy in San Francisco.
And neither one of you told your folks?
No, we told each other, but not them.
Well, why not? Have the judge or Polly been so hard to tell things to before?
It's Mom's heart, Will. If I'd have had her alone and quiet, I could have told her. But after that party, well...
Don't you see? Jock came home to tell Polly, and I came home to tell Dad. And before either of us had a chance to say anything, they announced our engagement.
Well, that sort of complicated things, all right.
It was a wonderful idea they had, but things are all out of control.
Well, now I never saw a river rise up yet that didn't have to come back down, Jock.
I can't tell Mother. She's so upset now. It'd be dangerous.
Jock, there's something else. Jenny's here in Elyria.
My wife?
Yeah.
Where? When did she get here?
Now, hold on. She's a little scared about everything. First, she's scared about your mother, Jock, because she wouldn't even take a chance of phoning you at home.
What?
And then she's scared about you and Melissa.
Where is she, Will?
She stayed at the hospital last night. Oh, no. She's all right. Nothing wrong. But you're going to have to do some explaining to her.
Well, I can do that all right.
I'll go with you, Jock.
Will, if Mother comes by again...
You better get over to the hospital and see your wife. Worry about Polly later.
I guess a man can only worry about one woman at a time. Thanks, Will.
Oh, congratulations to both of you. And that's about the whole story, Doc. What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out if anybody did anything right or wrong.
Jock's motives were good.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting to get home so he could tell his mother in person.
But his methods weren't very good.
Now, if Polly hadn't had the part...
And if Jock hadn't gone with Melissa, and if Polly and the judge hadn't jumped the gun... Oh, Will, the world's full of ifs. And I've got just one more. If the day ever comes when parents can look on their children as people with private lives, a lot of us doctors will be able to retire early. As much as I think of Polly, I'll have to say she's not been an angel in this.
How's that again, Doc?
Well, demanded so much of the boy that news of him marrying somebody beside Melissa might be a dangerous thing for her to find out.
What will Polly do when she does find out?
It's hard to say. She thinks quite a bit of her boy.
I mean her heart.
I mean her heart, too, Will. Will, Jenny seems like an awful nice girl, doesn't she?
Sure does.
Polly ought to be proud to have her for a daughter-in-law, don't you think?
I sure do.
You've been Polly's friend for a long time, haven't you?
Up till this morning, yes.
Now you're still her friend, Will. And you're Jock's friend, and you're my friend.
Doc, what are you leading up to?
Well, now, I've been thinking about this all day, from a medical standpoint. I don't want Jock telling her. They'd just get into one of those tearful scenes that mothers and children are famous for, and I don't want to tell her because I'm mean enough to throw in a lecture. Now, if there is any man in town who can break this news to Polly right, it's you, Will.
Golly. Doc? Golly. Hi, Polly. Can I come in?
What is it, Will?
Well, first off, I want to tell you we had the story all set up to print, and we were going to do a big job on it, but something came up. Can I tell you about it?
All right. Sit down, Will.
Thanks.
What came up?
Well, sir, a pretty girl.
What?
That's it, Polly. Prettiest, nicest girl you'd ever want to see come walking in my office.
I don't understand what you're trying to say, Will.
Well, she's from New York, but she's married to a fella right here in town.
Go on.
Well, he's an awful nice young fella, Polly, and this girl came here to see her husband.
In your office?
That's it. You see, she knew where to get in touch with him and all that, but she didn't dare phone him, so she figured she'd advertise in the paper for him.
This doesn't make sense at all, Will. If she was married to the man, why didn't she call him up?
Well, she wanted to, but she didn't dare. Because her husband has a mother who had other plans for her son. You see, this fellow's mother didn't know he was married.
Oh.
Now, he had good reason for not wiring or phoning his mother. In fact, he came here to tell her in person. But somehow, things just didn't work out that way.
You mean he couldn't tell his own mother he was married?
Well, she sets pretty big store and he was her only son, and it was a perfectly natural thing, and she had plans for him to marry someone else, and, well, the trouble is, she told her plans before he could be able to talk to her.
Oh, Will, is she really a nice girl?
About the nicest you'll ever find, Polly. As a matter of fact, she's over Doc's right now if you want to see her.
Oh, Will, I did make a mess of things planning so much for Jock.
Polly, why don't you go see them both right now? They've been worried just as much as you have.
Oh, all right, Will. Thanks.
Doc, you still there?
Yeah, right here, Will. Did you tell her?
Yep.
Do you need me?
Nope.
You mean... it's all right?
Sure. You know, Doc, none of us realize how tough parents can be. Why, she just squared her shoulders, smiled a little bit, and got used to being a mother-in-law just like that.
Have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Tonight's story was written by E. Jack Newman, produced and transcribed by Norman MacDonald. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Doc and Mary McGovern as Jill, with Eleanor Tannen as Jenny, Sarah Selby as Polly, Sam Edwards as Jock, and Karen Steele as Melissa. The special music was composed by Renee Garrigan and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Roy Rowan speaking. If you want pleasure in the daytime, here are two things you can do about it. For one, join Harper Godfrey's Monday through Friday marathons of mirth and music, talent and ingenuity. For another, you're welcome to CBS Radio's House Party starring Art Linkletter. Yes, Arthur Godfrey Time and House Party are two places you'll really find daytime pleasure every Monday through Friday over most of these same CBS radio stations. And remember, Kurt Massey and Martha Tilton sing their songs Monday through Friday on the CBS Radio Network.